Welcome to worship today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And indeed, what a morning it is to be in the house of the Lord each Sunday and anytime we get the chance to gather, but especially as we celebrate the resurrection joy, not only in baptism today, but in Holy Communion and in just the fellowship of Christ as we gather and praise His holy name, for He's worthy to be praised. So welcome, the warmest of welcomes to everyone today. I call your attention to the back of the bulletin, or your worship folder rather. There are some announcements. Please take heed of those. I understand we may also have some additional announcements at this time. Thank you. Are there any other announcements for the church family? Yes.
So I want to remind you right now that you can get quite a few things, Easter related, that are on sale. So if you pick up a few of those things, it might be good to save them for your Christmas boxes or Samaritan's Purse. So if you want a box that you want to start.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Other announcements for the church family? Very well then. Thank you. Your service order is in your worship folder. We'll be following that today. So at this time, I invite you to meditate as we now hear the prelude. to please stand.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we gather here today for this glorious celebration of baptism. And who is presented today for baptism?
Timothy Charles Johnson.
Timothy, receive the sign of the cross upon the head and the forehead and the heart, the forehead and the heart. This is marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemn the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserve believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet you led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Timothy according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, and through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought the young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Congregation may be seated. And as we continue, I ask everyone here, Ian, Rebecca, and all who are present today, do you indeed renounce the devil? If so, say yes. I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? Yes. Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe this? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes,
I believe. So you can place them over there. Timothy. Troms. Johnson. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's okay, buddy. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. We also have here as a welcome beautiful handmade craft by an anonymous source here, but wanted to make sure you have this. A small one's in here. Here we go. Yes, as a reminder, of baptism today, the drop and the cross, handcrafted. And also your certificate. And this beautiful handmade baptismal blanket with his name, Timothy Troms Johnson, on there, made by some loving and caring ladies here. And also we have, many of you may or may not remember your baptismal birthday, that perhaps if you don't, go find it. Find your baptismal candle, get it out on your baptismal birthday, and light it. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for His coming, that you may meet Him with joy and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which shall have no end. I invite the congregation to stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted baby Timothy the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us welcome our new member here. You may extinguish the hat. May the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. And here's your God's blessings. We continue in our worship folder on page 2 with the hymn of praise. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, blessing and glory are His. This is the feast, the victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb. Victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation, I invite you to be seated. Children, this is our sermon time together. Please come forward for it.
How are you today? Good. All right. Those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago, did you use your resurrection eggs? You did? Well, today I have something that I would like to show you. Who do you think this is? Okay. So, and where is God? He's in heaven. Right. All right. And where are we right now? We're on earth. And I have something that I'm going to give you. So I want you to pretend that you're so little you could live on this ball. Pretty small, huh?
It would be like an atom.
Yes. It would be really like an atom. So here we are. We're living in earth, and we said that God was in heaven. Can we just get up and walk to heaven?
No.
Well, how do you get to heaven? Yes.
So, then your body's going to go up to heaven.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. Well, last week we celebrated that Jesus rose again, didn't he? Well, believe it or not, and I'm sure that you do, Jesus is our way to heaven. Because he died, he took away all of our sins. And now we can be with God in heaven. So through a very special friend, I would like to give you, thanks. They all had a party in there. All right, so this is a very special cross. It's handmade, but what do you see that's different about this cross?
It's got a circle on it, and its side edges are not that straight.
Right.
There's little dots right there for the string on it, and there's a string.
Uh-huh, there's a string, and do you see this hole right here?
That's what.
Okay. Well, it reminds us of that, but what I want you to think about is if we can go to God in heaven, the only way we can get there is through the cross of Jesus. So if you are here on earth, the way to get to heaven is to walk across here, go through that hole, and go all the way to heaven.
So it's like going to heaven.
It's like that, yes. And so the only way, just remember this, the only way that you can get to heaven is through the cross of Jesus. And I'm going to give each and every one of you a cross. Would you like to wear it? Okay.
It must be huge, because it takes a whole lifetime.
Uh-huh. Yep. And here's yours. And there you are. Yes, you get to keep all of them. So now, tell me, when somebody asks you, why are you wearing a cross with a hole in it? What are you going to say?
That's how you get to heaven.
That's how you get to heaven. That's right. There you go. All right. So you guys have a wonderful day, and know that you have been baptized and you believe in Jesus, and you will be in heaven. And I'll see you again. Thank you.
This looks like a mini globe.
It is a mini globe. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and raising again. We know that we will come to your home through the cross. We love you. Amen. All right, you may go back.
Our first reading today is from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 29 through 42. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged, and they wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "King of Israel, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for this name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the test and genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated for the hymn of the day. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A text for the message is the gospel reading from St. John, chapter 20. Quite a familiar reading to us. But I'd like to focus on verses 19 and following. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad, and when they saw the Lord, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." And then 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Selected verses from the text. Okay, doubting Thomas, we've heard this before, right? It's in our vernacular and every day, even if you're not Christian, that term has probably been used and you've probably heard it or maybe even used it yourself in conversation. This term is not positive when we refer to someone as a doubting Thomas. And in this particular text, it's commonplace to focus on him and the original doubting Thomas and his skeptical remarks about having to see and touch Christ for himself before he can believe that resurrection was real. And at first glance, it's easy to, because of this need for proof, to put Thomas in a negative light, and perhaps rightfully so. It's easy to be down on someone, isn't it? Especially to point out their weaknesses or their flaws, especially with matters of faith. That just comes natural to us. And so we see in Thomas an example of doubt. Okay, we see it. There's a lot that can be discussed about it. But I'd also like to focus on fear. Fear. Remember verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Disciples were fearful. Even after all they had witnessed, all they had heard, all they had actively participated in with Jesus and his earthly ministry, they were afraid for their lives. And so we see illustrations here in this reading, what I call the evil twins, doubt and fear. So what is doubt? What is fear? Take just a moment. Think about these evil players in our faith lives and how they affect us each day. Where are you locked behind the closed doors of doubt? Even fear. Does baby Timothy doubt and fear? If not now, eventually. We all know that doubt can probably be defined best in terms of uncertainty. Maybe the inclination not to believe or trust something. We don't like to admit it. I'm including myself. That we have experienced doubt and or fear to some degree or another when it comes to matters of Christian faith.
Ask yourself, when have you challenged God to prove himself to you at one time or another? Have you ever tried to make a deal with God? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, God. You do this for me. Prove your love. Do this. I will do that in response. But you have to prove your love first, and I'll prove my love to you. So do this thing that I'm asking you to do. And then hope. Will he do it or not? Does this sound familiar? It does to me. What sort of faith is that, Christian friends and brothers and sisters? Do we not trust in the sure and certain proofs that God already gives you in his word, his sacraments, and absolution, forgiveness of sins? Martin Luther once wrote, "The devil's greatest and deadliest arrow in his evil quiver is the arrow of doubt, which he fires with deadly precision into the hearts of all believers in Christ." And fear isn't usually too far behind in that either. Okay, so maybe you're not as brazen as Thomas in your doubt, but I'm sure in your life, I know I have, questioned the wisdom and will of God at one time or another. Perhaps you haven't feared for your life as the disciples did, locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But we've been fearful rather than faithful. And how many times have we asked that question, why God, when life seems to be getting the better of us? What's the matter here? Do we not trust in God who is in complete control? Do we trust that God knows exactly what he's doing with our lives? And yet, why God? Why me? You got the wrong man. I'm one of the good guys. Give me a break. Do it to that person. They're evil. You know what, though? Life doesn't even have to be going tough for us to doubt. Does it? When we celebrate holy baptism as we have today, do we really know what this is? When we approach the Lord's table and receive the very body and blood of our precious Savior, do we know what this is and what God has done for us in these means of grace? How many times have we been fearful with our state of affairs? With respect to the resurrection joy of Easter, I'm not quite sure I can celebrate this because I did something bad last night. The resurrection joy of Easter. That's why we say it's the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. It's the resurrection joy that Christ has won for you and me as sinners from the fall. But yet we want to barter. We want to somehow earn forgiveness, earn salvation. Pastor, there's got to be something more. Well, sin's ugly. It's despicable, and we find ourselves in this state of affairs. There's nothing that you or I can do about it. You know it. God knows it. Whether you're an infant or an adult, it does not matter. Yet God, through his means of grace, holy baptism, reaches down to us, reaches down to baby Timothy today, calls him and us by name, and his name is affixed to everyone baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins won through Christ. And see, we are reminded of this every time we gather for worship. Each time we receive absolution, sins forgiven. Each time we receive the Lord's Supper. Each time we come together to speak our summary of Christian faith, a reminder of our baptism in the Apostles' Creed. Look again where Christ visits the disciples. Peace be with you. And when you hear that absolution, when you receive the body and blood, when you speak the words of the Apostles' Creed, really, sins forgiven. Jesus died for me. Not my sins, they're too bad. Besides, I'm a good person. Indeed, Jesus has dealt with all of this in his earthly ministry as he encountered it among individuals, the Pharisees and others who challenged him. If you recall, how can you forgive the sins of this lame man? How can you heal? Remember Jesus' response? It was easier to forgive a man his sins than to grant him the ability to walk. But that they may know, that they would know Jesus was God, he healed the lame man in the same way he forgave him his sins, by simply speaking. Well, he certainly did more than speak when he went to the cross, didn't he? And we're reminded of this as we just came out of Lent, and we're now celebrating the joy of the Easter resurrection. Remember when the disciples scattered when Jesus was arrested? How Peter denied his affiliation with Jesus when confronted by others. Yes, even those sins are forgiven. And Jesus reminded Peter of that later in an encounter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. How many of you still regret doing something a long time ago in life? How many of you still think that you should try and do something to make amends for that event or that sin? I struggle with it. I know each one of you do in one way or another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this doubt-filled, fear-ridden struggle in which we find ourselves, this regret that we find in our hearts, our sinful hearts, telling us that we're never good enough or this can't forgive me, but yet we hear the words of absolution. We receive his body and blood. We speak what we believe. And in these ways, God tells us that we are completely forgiven, because what has Christ done for us? Gone to the cross, taken his sins upon himself, that we may celebrate this Easter resurrection, this joy which he has earned for us and that we didn't deserve. It is finished. Jesus died for that sin and every other sin. And he died for the fact that you are born in sin, each of us, even precious little baby Timothy. So, does that mean the devil leaves us alone? Nope, he keeps after us, doesn't he? The more we turn to Christ and place our trust in him with the help of the Holy Spirit and through the gift of faith, the more the devil is going to frantically, feverishly unleash a volley of hell upon us. And doubt and fear are among that volley. And that's just the way it is, children of God. I say this because all too often in trials and tribulations, as they increase in our lives, doubt and fear has a habit of following suit. And we start looking for and asking for proofs instead of trusting the fact that God is working all things good for his people. And that whether we live or die, we belong to Christ and heaven is our home. We talked about this a little bit in adult Bible class today. The devil's going to work on you. He hates the fact you're here and that you belong to Christ and that you're his child. He doesn't work on those which don't care or are indifferent or don't believe in God or Christ, or those who reject the means of grace for which Christ has earned salvation for all people. He doesn't care about those people, the devil that is, or the lazy person who doesn't follow Christ or continues to find excuses to avoid the means of grace that's so freely given. The devil doesn't care about them. They're one. But the devil hates you. He wants you. He wants me. But you're here today, and you are one of his greatest enemies. Once an enemy of God, but now an enemy of Satan because of Jesus Christ. And that's why I pray that when these demonic arrows start hitting their mark in your life and mine, and they will, that you and I call upon our Lord and Savior, who has already won the victory for you and for me. And I pray that God grants you sure and certain saving faith to believe and fully trust in his words of victory spoken from his cross on that Good Friday afternoon. It is finished. May this be proof enough for us all. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we continue in our worship folder on page 7 with the prayer of the church. We've listed names on the back, which we'll lift up today out loud. I invite you also during our time of prayer to lift up silently those who are on your hearts and minds. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, our Father, you have raised your Son and he has bestowed the Holy Spirit on his apostles. Believing Christ's resurrection, help us also to trust the forgiving words of his servants. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, our Father, turn the enemies of your church and bring their hearts to repentance. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those you have placed in authority in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor to work for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, we praise your Son's resurrection from the dead and draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Show your kindness to Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor, Les, Glenn and Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, Vicky, Brenda, and all those for whom we pray in our hearts and minds silently before you now. Graciously receive our prayers of intercession for Christ's sake. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, your Son greets his disciples with peace. Despite their sins against him, make us confident in his mercy toward us and gladden our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood with forgiveness and renewal. Lord, in your mercy, hear all. O God, our Father, you have made baby Timothy your child through baptism today. He bears your name. Through your means of grace, he has received forgiveness of sins and been rescued from death and the devil. Continue to work in his life as he grows and matures in the faith. Make him your disciple that he may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace for the sake of your Son,
You have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us this day, through the help of your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Offerings may be received in the plates at the exits and may be mailed to the church office. We join together in singing the offertory.
Continue on page 8 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Lord Jesus. O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Go in peace.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, and body and soul till life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Feeds his people forth in joy. Shout! Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.